It's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond, and I love to tell stories. This story is The Moosicorn, Part 1, a Tales from the Lily Pad original by Marlene Warfel. In the northern boreal forests of Canada exists a singular creature. And by singular, I mean singular, one. The only one. And by northern boreal, of course, I mean a sprawling wilderness of evergreen evergreens, white paper birch, and golden leaf poplar trees clattering in the breeze, their roots tangled in plushy green and crunchy white mosses and lichens, upon a forest floor cluttered with orange mushrooms and red and purple berries, where the skies are alive with perpetual light, dancing aurora, billions of stars, some falling, all twinkling, spectacular sunsets lighting up cotton candy pink clouds, and the melodic calling of crows. It is here that our hero leads his singular existence. His name is Mordecai, and he is a moosicorn.
Hi, I'm Mordecai, a moosicorn, or you could call me the moosicorn. As far as I know, there isn't another.
Here's where you ask, what is a moosicorn? Well, a moosicorn is part moosey and part icorn, meaning he is, for all intents and purposes, a moose. He's tall, brown, and he's awkwardly graceful, with a full rack of moose antlers. But unlike a moose, between that full rack of antlers, the moosicorn has, right in the middle of his velvety moose forehead, a unihorn. Uni meaning, just like singular, one. Just one. But what a horn! It is spiraling, pearlish, luminescent, gracefully tapering toward the heavens, and no one who saw it would deny that it was truly and obviously magical. Now, the moosicorn spent his days foraging for sweet bark, succulent twigs, delectable bulrushes, and tasty, tasty leaves. As he grazed, the moosicorn had plenty of time to think. He thought, while he was munching on twigs, as the jackrabbits hopped by him joyfully frolicking with each other in the morning light, and he thought, while he was scraping bark with his teeth, as the red foxes playfully slinked by him together in the mid-morning warmth, and he thought, while nibbling dogwood branches, as the chipmunks chattered to each other in the boughs above him, in the brightness of just before noon hour, and he thought, as the chickadees flitted on the leafy willow branches that he chewed on for lunch at high noon, and he thought, whilst snacking on bulrushes, as the white-tailed deer bounded through meadows together in the afternoon light, and he thought, in the early evening, as he noshed on the wild rice ripening on the shorelines of northern lakes, while rainbow trout flashed in pairs together up through the surface of the lake he stood in. And this is what he thought.
Everyone, bunnies, red foxes, chipmunks, chickadees, white-tailed deer, rainbow trout, has someone. They have a mate, or some offspring, or a brother, or a sister, or a mother, or a father, or at least a best friend, or an acquaintance, or even a frenemy. Everyone has someone, but I do not. I am singular, as in one, the only one, and I am lonely. I would like to find someone like me. I would like to find my parents.
Well, once this thought wended its way into the moosicorn's mind, he couldn't unthink it, and he found himself thinking it all the time. So he decided to act upon it. But where could a moosicorn find his parents? He decided to ask around.
Do you know who my mother and father are?
he asked a jackrabbit hopping by.
I don't think they're jackrabbits, so I probably wouldn't know them by name, but if I had to take a guess, I would say your father's a moose and your mother's a narwhal.
Maybe. But there aren't any narwhals around these parts.
Then he asked a red fox vixen slinking by with her playful kits tumbling behind her.
Do you know who my mother and father are?
You definitely have some moose in you, said the red fox. But moose are such solitary creatures, I don't know a single one by name. If I can find out for you, is there something in it for me? Asked the vixen.
I don't have much to give as a reward for finding my parents. Unless, do you like gently chewed bulrushes?
But the foxes had already disappeared into the underbrush. So the moosicorn looked up into the boughs of the evergreens, and there he saw the chipmunks, and so he asked them.
Do you know where I could find my parents?
How could you have misplaced your parents? We have been hiding pine nuts and spruce cones in the woods for generations, and we haven't misplaced a single one. You should be ashamed to be so careless with something as important as your parents.
But it isn't that I lost them. It's more like they lost me, or as if they were just never there. As long as I can remember, I have been here. But my parents have not.
But the chipmunks just scolded. Mordecai asked the black-capped chickadees.
I am looking for my parents. Do you know who they are? Do you know where I could find them?
But the chickadees didn't know. They were, though, a great comfort to Mordecai, and they landed on his antlers and perched on his unicorn, and they listened to him describe how he was lonely, and he was wandering, and he didn't have a flock, and for a while there, he truly felt like he was a part of their flock, even though it was them who were resting upon him, as if he were an awkwardly graceful brown-furred tree with huge inky brown eyes that were as beautifully lashed and as soulful as eyes can be. Well, he felt like he was the one being supported by the tiny birds.
Thanks for listening, little brothers and sisters.
Next, Mordecai asked a deer for help locating his parents, and this is what she said. It's true that you aren't like the other creatures in the forest, not just because you have an extra horn, but because you are obviously magical. Maybe the answers you seek aren't with the animals of the forest, but with the magical elements of the forest. If I were you, I'd ask something magical, like an ant, if you can find one. An ant, of course, is a tree that walks and talks like a person does. But when there's any people around, the ant stays perfectly still and quiet to fool people into thinking they are just regular trees. Now, finding an ant was an easy task for Mordecai. His unicorns seemed to be always leading him towards them. But if he munched their leaves, they'd smack his nose with their branches and call him a bad moosicorn. So he was a little afraid of them for that reason, but not too afraid to find one and ask his burningmost question.
I am looking for my parents. Do you know who they are? Do you know where I could find them?
Mordecai! You need to speak to the Aurora about this important matter of who your parents are and where you could find them. Lie down in the most enchanted part of the forest, with your horn pointing straight north. You may find answers, or you may find more questions. In any case, the journey is more important than the destination.
Then, just like that, the ant turned into a regular old tree, so convincingly that Mordecai was pretty sure that it wouldn't smack his nose if he nibbled just a little bit of bark from some of the new growth on the topmost branches. But Mordecai was wrong about that, and his nose did get a smack. He thought for a moment about which part of the forest was the most enchanted. The ant said he had to go to the most enchanted part of the forest. and when he thought the answer was obvious, that stand of aspen that were always golden and where crows were always circling in the cloudless sky with fairies riding on their backs. Mordecai went there, and as the moon rose and the sun sunk into the horizon, the moosicorn kept his unicorn pointed to the north star, true north, and he waited. Well, when the stars lit up the sky, the aurora borealis began to dance. It made wishy sounds like silk rustling, first sprawling green, then waxing a green-blue, then gushing pink and purple-pink, and finally exuberantly flashing a pinky green. And then the moosicorn asked the aurora,
"Do you know who my parents are and where I can find them?"
And the aurora said,
"You are the triple crossbreed of a dragonfly wing with the molted hair of a moose, combined with the most perfect smooth pebble at the bottom of a glacier-fed stream, and the sheen of dropped antlers in the moonlight. You are the love child of magic and of moss, of dreams of flying, of the embers of a thousand-year-old bushfire, and the most desperate of thirst slaked."
"I don't quite understand what you're telling me. My parents are a pebble and some hair?"
"The ways of magic are ineffable, Mordecai, and that means, well, ineffable means, we mean not knowable, because the definition of ineffable is not knowable."
"Okay, I understand the definition of ineffable, but not who my parents are. Can you tell me?"
"You have no parents, Mordecai. You are singular, meaning one of a kind. You were never born from the animal world. No, you were magically combusted. We can't tell you where to find your parents, but by the time the sun rises, we promise you, you will find a best friend."
Well, the moosicorn opened his huge inky brown eyes that were as beautifully lashed and as soulful as eyes can be then, and he stood up on his impossibly long, awkwardly graceful moosey legs, and he looked heavenward where he saw the most outrageously beautiful creature flitting in the moon's shine and in the waning green light of the aurora. The creature was a moth, with a wingspan as wide as a dinner plate. She was the color of green light reflected in water. She had graceful anthers and wings with balletically long tails that fluttered after her like the tails of a kite. She seemed to be made out of ephemerality itself. Ephemera meaning papery and temporary, meant to be short-lived. Well, she flitted down through the moonlight and she came to rest upon Mordecai's moosicorn horn, which happened to be pulsating with starlight. She was a Luna moth, and her and Mordecai immediately became best friends forever. She could only be in moth form for 1 week of each year, and the rest of the time she cocooned inside a birch leaf that was attached to his antlers with silk threads, or she wriggled around in the form of a bright green caterpillar. Whatever form she was in, she was the moosicorn's best friend, and he was hers.
The end, for now.
If you love Tales from the Lily Pad and you want to do something nice for Lily, please write a review of this podcast on iTunes. You probably need a grown-up to help you with this. If you want to see a picture of a moosicorn or a Luna moth, you can visit our Facebook page, Tales from the Lily Pad.